If we have till 12:01 this morning, I would like to say that we should start off in Genesis and work our way right through Revelation. But since we only have just a few more minutes, I just wanted to give you some things about being successful in the Christian life. And can I just have a hymn book there? George, you amaze me how the Lord continues to bless you. What was the hymn that we sang, the first one? Was it? What's that? Number four. Yes, number four. The third line. Come, Holy Comforter, thy sacred witness bear in this glad hour. Thou Almighty art, now rule in every heart, and near from us depart, Spirit of power. Then go back to verse 2. Come, thou incarnate word, the Lord Jesus. Gird on thy mighty sword, our prayer attend. Come and thy people bless, and give thy word success. I didn't tell George that I'm going to talk about how to be successful in the Christian life. It's Jesus Christ. It's him alone. Faith alone, grace alone. Yes. Yes. Well, that's what it said. That's why I read that verse, that the Holy Spirit guided you to that verse, and that we would sing that song to bring his word success. If you want to be successful in the Christian life, you have to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to come live in your life, allow his Holy Spirit to guide you, to teach you, and to help you search the scriptures. And so, in September 1980, I had just started working as a youth pastor at Nest Baptist Church in Winnipeg. I didn't know what I was going to do. I'd graduated after 4 years of college. I thought I knew everything, and I would very quickly find out that I knew very little. As I look back over all this time, I realized how little I still know and how much there is. But for all eternity, you're going to spend, you'll be getting to know Jesus, because he's unsearchable, unknowable, but the things that he reveals is knowable and searchable. And so the first thing I wanted to tell you that about being successful, that as I look back over, you know, since 1976, when I accepted the Lord, over 44 years coming up this December, to be successful in your Christian life, confess Jesus all the time. Speak his name all the time. Tell him how much you love him, that as he is your Lord and Savior, and that he has given you salvation, he's prepared a place for you. Just tell him again and again. Tell everybody that you meet. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. If verse 33 says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven, and his holy angels. So confess Jesus all the time. Tell everybody the reason that you're here, the reason that you live, the reason that you go to work is because of what Jesus has done for you. Confess him. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And verse 4. Romans 10:4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Confess Jesus if you want to be successful in the Christian life. Number two, rely upon the Holy Spirit to guide you. God has given us elders and teachers, but the most important one is the Holy Spirit. If you're not sure about something, if you don't understand something in the Christian faith, whether it's a question in Scripture, you can always ask the Holy Spirit. I mean, God has given us elders and teachers and pastors and evangelists, and we can ask them. But number one is to always rely upon the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16 and verse 8. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus himself. John 16, verse 8. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's chapter 15, verse 26. John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which shall testify from the Father, he shall testify of me, and you also shall bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning. And in John 14, 25. These things have I spoken unto you, that you being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things said unto you. It's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He will not only comfort you, he will guide you, he will teach you. And trust him. Because the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. It is the love of the Father that we have these things. Number three. Give God the Father all the glory. I like what Jesus says in John 17. That as he looks up into the heavens. Verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Jesus is glorifying the Father, how much more us? Because of the salvation we've been given. And so always pray that the Father, we receive his will, that we do it according to his will. He receive all the glory, but ask for his blessing, that you may be able to share it with as many people as possible. Number four, search the scriptures daily. Again, Jesus says in John 5:39, not just once in a while, daily. And here's what Jesus says. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. They testify of Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. That's why we search the scriptures, that we would know more about Jesus, more and more of what he's done. Number five, memorize God's word. Psalms 119, verse 11. He says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The closer you get to the word, the closer you get to Jesus, the closer that you allow the Holy Spirit, the less you will sin. It's not saying that we'll never sin, because if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. But we'll sin less the closer that we get. And so hide, you know, his word. We used to sing that song when I was in camp. I was just remembering, reflecting on it. It's not something that I was paying attention to. But I love when we sing, because the songs, they go in. And then all of a sudden, you know, just as Ruth, remember we were on the bus the one time. And the bus driver, we had sang at the on the bus. Up from the grave he arose. And all of a sudden one day, you know, the bus driver didn't like that song, but all of a sudden one day he's driving down the road and he starts whistling that, you know, and all of a sudden I looked at him and he was like, oh, you know, like, oh no, you know, sing lots of songs, but hide his word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, that I might not sin, that I might not sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Hide it deep, especially for these times, especially as you see the day approaching. Memorize his word. Say it to one another. Read his word. I mean, God loves when we just read his word. Read every portion of it. 6, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5. I mean, this is not just the Apostle Paul telling us this. This is coming from the Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, he makes a number of little statements. Verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. But verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. You know, Samuel, as he had ruled the nation, the nations, the 12 tribes of Israel, is that he came to them at the day of his end of his life, and he said, you know, have I taken anything from you? You know, have I taken things that don't belong to me? And they said, no. But you have taken from God, and that you desire another king. But he says, far be it from me that I should forget to pray for you. Pray for one another. Do it without ceasing. Encourage, you know, one another, especially in these days. Hardships, struggles, you know, we have pestilence, we have heartaches of disease, and that there's people with cancer and people that are struggling. Let's continue to bring them up before the Lord. He knows. He knows our days. Let's pray for them. Number 7, and this one becomes very, very hard, but I want to encourage you, as Pastor Jeremy says, I mean, tomorrow morning, only 10 people. Well, there's nothing to say that you can't come with 10 people. You know, set up a time. Okay, these 10 people, let's meet. And we'll do it that way. I mean, we should still be, doesn't say we can't meet, just says 10 people. And so, give attention to public worship regularly. I mean, we read yesterday, Hebrews 10:25, and Andrew brought it up last week. But I just want to bring out Psalms 50, verse 5. Psalms 50. And here's what David wrote by the Holy Spirit. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Is that people say, well, yeah, but that's speaking to the Old Testament saints, the Jews. Well, Romans chapter 15, verse 4, 1 Corinthians 10, 6, and 11 says, these things were written for our account, so that we would not turn our heart away from into lustful things or turn away our things from God. Have my saints gather. Especially as you see this day approaching. And that we'd come for teaching, come for singing, come as a group of 10. Number 8. Give liberally without grudgingly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. Again, the Holy Spirit, this is what he says. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You want to be successful? Give cheerfully. Give purposefully. Give as the Lord has offered. And give it unto him. Not unto people, not unto things, unto God. It may involve people, and it may involve things, but give it to God. Because it'll be there in the safekeeping. Because he loves a cheerful giver. My grandfather always used to say, how many people want to be cheerful today? You know, I don't know, I think he was stretching it a bit, but he did ask that question. So, anybody here want to be cheerful? You know, the Bible says, give cheerfully. Give with a purpose. Give it unto Jesus. Number 9, give attention to missions. John chapter 4, verse 35. Don't forget missions. Now, this was told to me back in 1980 by a man, Ray Gunther. I forgot to mention him. And I thought as I started out my ministry that he wanted me to be successful in the Christian life. John 4:35. Say ye not, there are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And so give attention to missions. The harvest is ready. We've come for this day. The whole world is needing it, for God so loved the world. Give attention to the missions where God may call you. Maybe it's giving out a box of books, you know, a whole box of CDs. They're there for you. I'm hoping that you're taking it. I can't take these things home, and I've told I'm not allowed to leave them here, so though I'm going to leave them here for a bit. Number 10, witness to someone. Acts chapter 2. And there's many portions of scriptures that we could find for that. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I'm going to go back to, actually, verse 38. Because I think this is what we need to tell the people. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to as many that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had things common, sold their possessions, goods, parted them to all men as every man had needs. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They saw the testimony that what Jesus Christ had done up there in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, and that how the believers came together, and that the nation's people were being saved. We're told here was 3,000. Acts chapter 4, there was 5,000 or 4,000. And you see that the gospel just kept going. And here we are. And what will we do with the missions that God has called us to do that someone might get saved? Number 11, forget self and live for others. Matthew chapter 20, 16 to 28. Matthew 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto them, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. I'm just going to jump down to verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of God coming in his kingdom. You might be seeing him come. But follow me. Forget yourself. Follow Jesus. 12, keep growing in grace. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. I mean, we could turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Keep growing. But 2 Peter chapter 3. That as we get close to the end, I think these are very fitting words. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. He said that there's scriptures that are hard to understand, and that's why we have the Holy Spirit. But verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Amen." More about Jesus. I want that song and those words to resonate that throughout the day and the coming week. I challenge you, find that hymn, sing that hymn, more about Jesus. More for all eternity. But it's this last point that I want to tell you as we close with this. Number 13. I want to challenge you, every one of you, don't be ashamed. Carry your Bible everywhere you go. Everywhere. Especially for these last days. As you see this day approaching, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of his word. Take up this challenge. Carry your Bible everywhere you go. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. As the Holy Spirit again spoke to Paul, as Paul would speak to a young pastor, Titus, he says this with a charge. Holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, and he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. That when people have a question, when people put a challenge, well, here's what God says. Yeah, but what do you say? No, here's what God says. It doesn't matter what my opinion is. My opinions are not going to save people. If my opinion, it'll be the word of God. That's my opinion. And so carry the Lord Jesus with you. 2 Timothy chapter, or no, Philippians 2, verse 16. Philippians 2, 16. And he says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Carry the Bible everywhere you go, holding fast to the things that God has told us. And then the last one, I wanted to end it with this as we began in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That as George read those very words out of Scripture, is that he didn't know, because the Holy Spirit reminded George and gave it to him, because that's how I was going to end it. I mean, I started off, that's where I was going to start, and he came right there and shared it right in the middle without me telling him, and that's how I was going to end. It's right here on my paper, the last verse, right there. And he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The sacred scriptures that you've known from a child, hang on to them. The words of Jesus, he said, are life and death. Hang on to them. My sayings are life and death. That's what Jesus said. Hang on to them. And so that as we look unto our Savior, the author and finisher of our faith, I'm again reminded of these two posters, pictures. Jesus lives forever. Is that it's Jesus. It's always been about him. Let's not forget Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we've come into thy midst, we've come into thy presence, we've come into the very holy of holies, and that one day it will not just be by faith, it'll be by sight. That we will see him and be like him. We are so thankful for the salvation, that as we think of how you've lived with us day by day, and that you don't forget us, and that you've told us about all these things from beginning to end. And that as these days approach, that we're not to forsake the assembling together, especially in the name of Jesus Christ and in the faith of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I just thank you for this time that we've been given. Thank you for the faithfulness of the saints that are here this morning, because we're able to meet, even though under conscription to meet only under 50. I thank you, Lord, that we are able to come, and that I pray that those that listen to it by CD will also be encouraged to follow the things of Jesus Christ. And that we'd build each other up in this most holy faith, looking unto our Savior, the Lord Jesus, waiting for him to come. And that, Lord, that we would be available to give a testimony, available to hand out a book, a DVD, a track, a Bible. And that, Father, that we would carry our Bibles everywhere we go, because this is our hope, and we're to give an account of the hope that's within us, the Lord Jesus. And that we know that you live, Lord Jesus, and that you are going to reign forever. And so, Lord, as we come to a closing of this conference, and you know the beginning and the end, you know where we stand in history and in your time frame. And so we want to give you all the thanks. We give you all the glory. We ask for your blessing, that you'd be with us, and that as we would look forward to when we see Jesus. Comfort us, as Lord, as we go to our homes, to our families, to our friends, that, Lord, that even though we may not gather with large groups, that, Lord, we can still phone or text or email, that, Lord, that we would be a blessing, that we can still meet even under 10. And so, Lord, I pray that you would use these things to glorify you. I thank you, Lord, for the pastor leadership, for the elders in this church. I thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness in doing the things that you have called them over the years. And Lord, that if this be the last time, Lord, we commend them into your hands, and we look forward to the time when we shall see you. But Lord, if there's still time given, we look forward to that time when we can come back into this house and to worship and to give you praise. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all these things, and ask that we now go with thy blessing in your precious Holy Son's name, the Lord Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he use you greatly.